Well, I'm going to now switch gears a little bit and talk about development with regard to project templates. We're going to see more tooling throughout the day, little things that will guide us into some of the tooling features will be in the context of what kind of things that we're developing. But project templates is where I'd like to go next, because when we're dealing with writing these apps for the Windows Store and we're using JavaScript as our language, what you see on the screen right now are the available template types for beginning your journey as a developer. So if you haven't explored them all, then it's kind of good to know, well, what is the difference between one versus the other and what benefits do you get? So I wanted to talk about that right now. So the blank app at the very top, as the name implies, it has the minimal amount of code. It's going to have a single HTML file, a single CSS file, and a single JavaScript file, a reference, and it kind of says, okay, you're completely on your own for how you're going to build it from here. The grid and split app, I think, for templates are great for learning. And Jeremy and I have had this discussion in the past where, grid and split app are really almost kind of tutorial. They're just good, solid templates to say, let's see how they weaved it all together. If you think about those three stages that Jeremy talked about in the design section, where, how do we get that three-tier model? Well, that's what the grid app's going to show you very effectively. How you could start with that hub and then and drill right down into the, those final details. So, and it could actually be your starting point as well if you want to start working with that design style and then change the data and all that stuff to map to whatever your content is. That's great too. But you might look at grid and split app as, basically good ways to kind of get involved with the experience, either whether it's three-tier or two-tier. The fixed layout app that's mentioned there is taking advantage of a tool that just automatically resizes or scales content to fit the window. It's kind of a cheat, if you will, for saying, I want this to look good in multiple resolutions, and I don't want to have to worry about resizing at all. Let it happen on its own. And we're going to see an example of that later on in the day. So it leaves the last one, which is the navigation app. And I did confirm this with Jeremy earlier. This is our favorite starting template. It's the one that actually gives you the ability to, it kind of has the benefits of a blank app where it starts you off with, minimal, but it gives you some navigation capabilities to quickly and easily add more pages. I mean, we have a lot of pages at Code Show, and we're definitely using the navigation features that are there in the navigation app template, not there at the blank app. You would have to start building that on your own.
Yeah, there's a couple blog posts on codefoster.com that might be helpful. One of them is called Building Up to Blank, and it's kind of a what does blank give you? Because you're starting somewhere, right? And so some of us want to understand exactly how it's working. So go to codefoster.com and search for blank. You should find that one. And there's another one, if you just search for navigation, that shows you all of the stuff that the navigation template gives you. Because I don't like it when I feel like there's smoke and mirrors going on behind the scenes. It's not like that. The navigation template is nice and light. It gives you a small JS file, and it gives you that, the suggested structure of putting everything in the pages folder, in a folder with the name of the page. And then, by the way, we got this question in the chat. I just thought I'd say it out
Please.
loud.
Yeah.
To create the HTML, CSS, and JavaScript for a page automatically, you just go, first you go to the pages folder and you right click and you say add a folder, and you add a folder with the name of the page, and then you right click on your folder and you add a page control. You add a new item and choose page control. And that will give you the HTML, the CSS, and the JavaScript all in one action.
Excellent. Thank you for highlighting that. That's very good. Now, you should check out codefoster.com for that. Remember, if I didn't say this today, I just said it yesterday. Jeremy's very fussy about details, and I actually loved that blog post you did on a blank app.
Good.
It was very good. I mean, it says, what he did is he disposed the myth of how blank it was. There's a lot of stuff going on there.
Yeah.
So it's a very good read. I highly encourage it. All right. Well, we've talked about the different template types. Now I'd like to talk about the common project traits. So all of those projects have the following in common. They all have support for the .html, CSS, and JavaScript files. They all contain a package manifest, which I'm going to show a little sneak peek of in a moment. And they all reference something that we'll talk about at the end of this module, and that is a reference to that WinJS library, and that's actually how it's referenced in the project. So no matter what kind of project type you have, you're going to have these common project traits, and I thought I'd just highlight that commonality, and now we can get into the fun of looking at the project template in a little bit more detail. So I will, again, zoom in with Zoomit, for those of you who were asking, and get into the references. So Jeremy mentioned something about he doesn't like black box. You know, I actually am the same way. I don't like it when I feel like something is so encapsulated and hidden that I don't know what's going on. So a nice feature here in the Solution Explorer is I can see that I have a reference to that library. Now, I'm going to click on it, but I'm going to move down the screen to the properties area because someone will say, well, when you're setting that reference, where does it go? Well, the path is available. You can see the path to, you know, where this actually resides, so it's not like it's hidden in some mysterious area on the machine. The other thing that I love about it is that it's expandable. So what we're looking at is a package. And when I say package, you'll notice down below, you know, it ended with a .appx, and I scroll back up here, and I can now drill into what is available to us in this referenced package. There are CSS definitions in here. In fact, every time you look at a page, if I were to move over here, you could see this UI dark CSS is being referenced. We kind of skipped that yesterday in talking about it, but now we can say, hey, we want to take advantage of that CSS that already exists over here, which has so many definitions that we could use right away within our application. Same here with the JavaScript. We'll see that we're going to have over on this side in our HTML a base.js, a UI.js already included in the page. Then we can move over and see, okay, what do those look like? I could double click this file right now and investigate it. And I know you hinted at this yesterday because you said the only way you could learn certain things with the promises or whatever is you actually went right into the JavaScript. And this is how you do it. You just drill right in and get into whatever it is that you want to poke around and see. So nothing's being black box from us. We can go in and find out exactly how things are being written. So right off the bat, just with a reference there, we can see that we can tie in. And even you'll find out if you maybe you won't have this experience like I do, where maybe you have a problem in your code. At times I've had some issues with my code. And sometimes what will happen is that in the debugger, it actually stops and it'll even show me stack trace information going right into one of those JavaScript files. So it even will drill into there in a debug mode if you wanted to see what was really going on. So heads up there that you can even troubleshoot and have those files available for that as well.
Yeah.
Now, in our CSS folder, this is where, of course, you could put all of your CSS. In this example, because I did start with the navigation has a default HTML. It also has a default CSS. But because we're using pages, you'll notice that the home page in itself also has its own CSS. So the default CSS is being applied to the default HTML. But I think that what's kind of funny about that default HTML is we're not really looking at the default HTML because we'll get into this in a little bit more detail later, but kind of look at this default page in your navigation template as almost like a little master host or a master page that will load inside of itself the pages that you create. So when Jeremy was talking about, hey, you know, go right-click pages, add a folder, and then add a page control, those page controls can then be loaded ultimately into that default.html, which means you're actually using a single page model where we never really left default. Default has always been open, It's just that it's swapping the insides of itself for any one of these page controls that we've added in here. So we'll get more into navigation later, but just highlighting that each one of these pages then, of course, can have their own JavaScript and their own style sheets, which are now inside each of these respective folders. This is why, and in fact, I'll even open up the home one to showcase this. I come over here. We hear about this dot home page preceding something in each one of these examples. And that's because as we're loading these pages into that default, all those resources get loaded in. But when we navigate to another page, they never left the memory space, which means that if we might have some CSS definition rule collisions if we're not careful. So it's always a good practice when you're using multiple pages to make sure that your CSS usually begins with whatever the name of that page is or what the style was at the in the markup. And I'll show you where that was right here. Fragment, home page. The div is the first child of the body tag, and now we're saying basically everything falls underneath this category of homepage as a class in our CSS file. That's just important to know. If you start to see that everywhere, that's why it's there. You also notice that Visual Studio will do some indentations. So for I'll zoom into this and say, okay, well, if I want to add another class, but I know it's going to be used only on this page, I can say dot homepage. And then I'll call it, you know, dot groovy. And then I'll open and close the brace. And now inside here, everything that I'm going to be doing inside of this dot home page is going to be specifically for that particular class content for Groovy. So, you know, maybe it's a background color. I'd have to come up with something that would map the name here. So background color of, you know, something maybe flashy, like a purplish color. And you get the benefit, by the way, in the tooling to have features like this where we can select the color within the CSS. That's really nice. So I think that this kind of looks like a groovy color. Yeah, that's great. So I can have that also in there as well. So I'm going to just zoom out here and go back into this markup. This is just standard HTML content. You can use HTML5 content in here as well. And as we're going to find out very soon, and we see a sneak peek of it in the default.html, there is the ability for us to introduce controls or WinJS type things. So I'm going to go into the home, I think, yeah, I'm in the home HTML, and I just want to show where you get the advantage of some of the references that we were looking at when you see things like this. You know, when type ellipsis or when back button. You know, where did these class definitions come from? Because when I looked at my CSS file, I didn't see any of them in there. But where they exist is in the CSS that was loaded when we set those references at the WinJS level. So that's a little bit of a quick abbreviated summary of some of the things that are in there. I just wanted to end it with the discussion of our package AppX manifest, which has its own little GUI. Now, here's a trivia question for you. And by the way, we still owe everybody an explanation on the snapped.
We'll have to figure that out at the break.
But here's a trivia question for you. What is the true data type of this AppX manifest? Any clue?
For the sake of argument, let me just say I don't have a clue. What is it?
Really? It's an XML file. However, Visual Studio makes that XML file so easy to navigate through with this nice, beautiful GUI display that we have. So that means that underneath the hood, if I were to open this up, I'd see an XML file with all of these values, but I can easily just get to these values and, you know, make my changes here. If I don't want this to be displayed as demo app and I wanted a space there instead or jumpstart app or whatever I want to do, I can start making these changes here. This also dispels the, you know, the rumor of, when you are doing your application in with JavaScript, does it just always go to a default.html file and say that's the starting file. Well, you can make the start page whatever you want. But we would want to stay at a default HTML file here because it's that master template that loads all those other page controls. We'll see other things that we can do that are in the application manifest as we move forward with some of those other features. But at this time, I think that concludes what we were doing with the project templates. And I really now want to start having a discussion on the WinJS library. So as an introduction to that, we've talked about you could bring third-party JavaScript libraries in. You can create your own JavaScript libraries. But you're going to want to take advantage of this special JavaScript library. And actually, Jeremy, why would you say that's the case?
Well, tell me what you mean by special. What's special about this library?
Well, it's special in that it's going to be used exclusively or really with the intent to building your app and taking advantage of the features that a native application could use, which would make it a differentiator to the other kind of JavaScript libraries.
Yeah, and that tends to be its nature. It's important to know that the WinJS library is a JavaScript library like any other. There's nothing special built into it at all. Now, you'll notice that in the WinJS library, sometimes you'll get capabilities like access to local storage. I'll take for an example. Access to local storage, you can go through something like winjs.application.localstorage, I believe it is, or local folder. And if you go look at the source code for that, it's going to windows.storage.applicationdata.current local folder. And you could go to that path directly yourself. So WinJS doesn't give you any special Windows privileges or any special Windows access, but it does make some of it easier for you to access in your JavaScript app.
That's great.
So it's all things that you could do directly without using the WinJS library. That said, there's no reason not to use it if you're making a Windows 8 app, and it really makes our lives easier in a lot of ways. It's pretty huge. The WinJS library is pretty big. Let's again take a glance at my screen at the references section and look inside of, you can see there are a number of SDKs here, but I'm going to look inside of the Windows library for JavaScript. And if I look in the JS file, I have two files there. I have base.js and I have UI.js. Basically, the base is a lot of the functionality of WinJS and the UI is a lot of the controls of WinJS. And if I look in the base, I can tell by the size of my, by the very, very small size of my scroll bar indicator that this is a pretty big file. There we go. This is a pretty big file.
So tiny, you had to zoom in.
I had to zoom in for that one. Yeah. This one's not quite as easy to use as your zoom it. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff in here. Now, luckily, with code navigation that's built into Visual Studio, it's a little bit easier to navigate. These triple slash comments give us really good IntelliSense when we're consuming this, so a lot of this space is taken up with the triple slash comments. That's okay. And this might lead some people, if you're web developers, to think, then this is a huge file with all of the docs built into it. What about a minified version of it? There's not really much need for a minified version of it, because in a Windows 8 app, you know that this is on the client machine. This is not an HTTP call to an external service or anything like that. You're not worried about that. So we don't have to worry so much about minification. We don't have to worry so much about bundling, compression. A lot of those things don't really matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those just go away. But with some of the navigation features in Visual Studio, I can, for instance, collapse the entire definition for define with parent. And then I can browse this a little bit easier. I can glance into these or jump out of them. And actually, whenever I'm consuming the WinJS library, I can use that excellent F12 shortcut to go to the definition, which jumps us directly into, for instance, base.js, and lets us see exactly how they made it. So let me try to find the WinJS application local. I think it's called the local folder. Here is an example of where this is actually just in a, this is defining the WinJS application. And in the WinJS application, there's a value called local. This is a member property, like Michael was showing yesterday. And when I get that, by the way, we didn't mention this yesterday, but ECMAScript 5 introduced getters
That's
and
right.
setters
That's
properties.
Right.
Those are huge. In the getter there, it's actually using this IO helper, and it's accessing Windows, storage, application data, current, local folder. Okay? Now, you could have accessed that yourself. You didn't need to go through the WinJS library for it. And in fact, in my storage example in Module 6 later today, you're going to see us accessing that immediately just like that. So it's really wrapping a lot of things like that for you. And then, like Michael showed you, you're getting not only the JavaScript support with WinJS, you're also getting some CSS support. A number of third-party JavaScript libraries do deliver with some JavaScript and some CSS, and that's exactly what you're getting is the two of them. And you can look in there and learn a whole lot about the nature of the WinJS controls. For instance, one of the huge controls in WinJS is the list view. If you're familiar with the XAML side, you have list view and grid view. In WinJS, we just have list view, and it can be horizontal, like it can be arranged like a list, or it can be arranged like a grid. It's just options to set that. But if you want to see how the list view is styled and how you can override its styles to control it, instead of having to try to decorate everything inside your templates so that you can refer to them, you can just refer to them because they're inside the WinJS CSS file. So let me jump in here to something called Win List View. Now, it gives us a nice little comment here telling us that we're dealing with the list view control for all of these. And on a page, when you drop a WinJS list view control, it gets rendered with the class win-listview, decorating that list view. And so you don't have to put that class on there. You can just refer to it and style it. So I'm learning that by default, list views are 400 pixels tall. That's good to know. Because oftentimes, I want my list views to be 100% tall. I want them to take up my full vertical space. By default, the overview is hidden. That's good to know. So there's lots of stuff here. Now, the Win Surface, you might say, what in the world is the Win Surface? And I want to take you to the dev.windows.com link that I go to approximately 73 times per day.
Oh.
And if you jump to Docs and you search for, I don't remember the exact title of the article, but if you go to Docs and you search for list view and style, you'll find an article on here about styling the list view and its items. This is a really helpful article. And it has some great graphics that let you figure out what the list views actually are composed of. You can see that a list view has a surface, a viewport, and then the list view itself. So imagine it's like a video frame, like a picture frame with a really wide surface, a really wide picture that you're sliding behind this frame. So sometimes you want to actually use the CSS styles to affect that frame, and other times you want to affect the surface itself. So it's good to know the difference between those two, and it even gives you the CSS class right here. So you can jump over into your CSS, learn what they're doing by default, and then you can basically just copy this exact string and use this in your app, and you'll be overriding for your individual page, you'll be overriding the behavior or the style of that list view. Now, one more thing real quick. There was a question in the chat yesterday that I addressed, but I should say it out loud here. Somebody asked, what if I use a CSS style and I affect the same element by its class, and also by its ID, which one of those wins? Do you want to answer?
You know what? It depends, but what's going to be your answer?
My answer is going to be this. The ID is going to win because there's a concept in CSS called specificity, right. And IDs are more specific than classes. Are more specific than types, and so on. And so if you define that by ID you want it to be blue, and by class you want it to be red, it'll say, all right, I'm going to make it blue because ID wins. And so those types of CSS cascading and inheritance and specificity, you should read up on those so that when you're trying to override the styles of these built-in controls, you've got the control you need.
Yeah. You know what? I should have been thinking in the context of what you were saying, because how you do your selectors in CSS does make a huge difference to specificity, and that does make a difference as to what kind of rules will set the precedent. So very important to bring that up. And you had the UI Lite CSS file up, and you were looking at those definitions. So a question might be, would I see something similar if I went into the dark CSS file?
Yeah, and I think the answer would be yes, except it'd be dark.
Okay. So anything else on WinJS you want to cover?
No, that's probably plenty. See, I wanted to give kind of an overview of WinJS, but we got a whole section on controls. So we're going to be looking at a whole bunch of controls that WinJS gives you. So we'll save that for then.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
That's great. So it was kind of a primer or getting warmed up to start doing development. It's going to start getting real interesting in the next module when we're going to start focusing on actually doing some accessing of the features that are really desirable in the app. So stay tuned, but that's going to wrap it up now for our development with Windows 8 and creating Windows Store apps.
Thanks.